Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
Welcome to the Ultimate Trivia Podcast, the show where knowledge is power, and laughter is all you're going to go home with tonight. I am Andy, your host. We got the whole crew here in the house, Brian, Kelly, Nick, and Scott. Fellas, how we doing?
Hey, hey.
Yep, present and accounted for.
L-I-V-I-N.
Yeah.
Here.
Here, a present.
Present.
From Big P. All right, very good. We got a fun episode. This is my episode tonight. It is one that I wrote very, very early in our journey here, and I've been sitting on it for like a year and a half, and I'm not telling you what it is. Mm. It is loosely tied to an episode that we've done in the past, that I've done very early.
That narrows it down.
Yeah. Nothing. Of course. But before we get to that, we want to draw your attention to our social medias. Each of our handles individually are on the show notes, so go out there, check us out. We got a fun marketing team. Casey leads that team to keep you entertained on the socials. So.
Hi, Casey.
Yeah, thanks, Casey. And of course, our website, theultimatetriviapodcast.com. All the episodes categorized by topic, yada, yada, yada. Scotty is already starting to yawn.
Oh, he's over. Uh-oh.
Wait till the flavor text.
That's enough of that. Yeah, no kidding. All right, that's enough of that. We're going to go to Pro-Am, actually, to get our question of the week this week.
Thank you, Andrew. Tonight's question is from me. I want to know. Well, most of us have had a moment of need where we suddenly feel like an absolute genius and think, why doesn't this exist? For example, I've always thought someone should invent toothpaste gum for those times like in between meals and stuff. So if you have ever had like an on-the-spot invention, what is it?
Yeah, I took me on a journey there.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out where we were going.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I did come up with an invention with a buddy one time, and to my knowledge, it's not a thing, although now it probably is. I actually took it to the point where we started to fill out patent paperwork.
Wow.
And then, you know, we were like in high school at the time. It's a tent where the air mattress is built into the floor.
They don't have those already?
Well, they might now. This was a couple of years ago, like I said, when I was in high school.
Gotcha.
Long time ago.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
You know.
That makes sense.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, yeah, right? Now, they do have just inflatable structures
that
double as a tent, so I guess probably the whole thing is. But at the time, standard, you know, you string the poles through, you stake everything down, but right out of the floor lifts your air mattress.
I dig it.
There you go.
I like it a lot.
Don't steal that. Copyright or trademark or something. If it's
dibs.
Yeah, that's right.
Wasn't there an app we thought of as a group or something?
But
I don't remember.
It was a way to gamble on the NCAA tournament. It was like a draft of teams somehow or an auction or something. Do you remember that? That was a tradition night.
That's coming back to memory.
It was similar to the Calcutta where you bid on a particular team, but it was more evenly distributed. Boy, I forgot about that. Yeah, we even had a name for that.
Well, I had one, the idea of apps or tablets for trivia. Each person at a table during a trivia can have their own app or tablet instead of passing papers back and forth.
Do bars not already do
that's
that?
Brilliant, actually.
Yeah,
I don't know if they do or not.
Similar. I don't know if it's the same device.
Traditional.
Like a trivia
tables.
Night.
Yeah.
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 Trivia nights with a...
Well, we're kind of having an app.
That, by the way.
We're kind of having an app developed for this show that would be similar to that. Yeah. But that would, it's kind of the idea.
Yeah.
An app where you can get a hug. There's mothers all around the country. And if you need a hug from a mom, you can just hit up that app.
They actually make like a robot torso that you hang on your wall it hugs you. That's a real thing.
Oh, Lord.
I'm serious. Wonderful and pure thought, and it would go so horribly wrong so fast.
It'd go sideways quick.
There's actually, at least at one point in time, you could hire someone to come snuggle.
Yeah.
I'm sure that also went horribly wrong from time to time.
Someone coming to your house.
That was a weird DoorDash adventure.
Scotty, you ever had any like toilet inventions while you're sitting there daydreaming?
I've had so many, and I Google them, and they always exist. Okay, so we just had this conversation. It was either yesterday or today at work about shoehorns. Do people even really use them anymore?
Well, Skechers built right them. Into their shoes.
Now. Older generation.
I have
you lose them. You lose them so easily that I said just magnetize them and it goes on your fridge.
Shoehorn? That's a weird place for a shoehorn to go, though.
I know, but where else, how else are you going to keep it?
We're not on the same
page. That doesn't fly with me.
Magnetic shoehorn.
Yeah.
Now, Skechers advertises those step-in shoes that have rigid back. I mean, it's essentially the same thing, right? For people that can't.
Yeah, but like the shoehorn, I think, is for like, mainly for like dress shoes, right? So you're not making creases in the back of your leather shoes or whatever, like nice dress shoes. You know,
I can't say
like,
I ever knew what a shoehorn was for. You don't want to mess up
the back of your shoe.
Not all dress shoes have laces and stuff. So if it's a snug fit, that's what a shoehorn does. Slides right in.
Slides in. Yeah.
Do you own a shoehorn besides me?
I have one somewhere. I have no idea where it is.
I think I have one somewhere, but I'm not sure where it's at.
But if it were to magnetize, I know exactly where it'd be. It'd be on my fridge, right next to my chip clips.
As kids, I remember us having the idea of we loved to break in baseball gloves. The idea of having a ball on a stick before it actually ever came out. We had that idea.
Is that a thing now?
Yeah.
I feel like the lady eating chicken at the theater got up and pulled out a shoehorn and put her shoes on before she left the movies.
She might have. Her hands were greasy enough. They slid right on.
That's right.
She just buttered up her calf muscle area and her heel, and that shoe right on there. Right on there.
All loose.
And I told it before in a previous episode that my mother created the first FlexFit hat.
Yes. That is clutch.
Yes.
Good job, Miss.
I like that.
Mm. Yeah. She didn't patent it, though. We're not rich.
It's an opportunity.
We're not rich at
all.
Pretty
sure, same buddy I came up with the tent with, we came up with elastic trash bags. Elastic topped trash bag
to fit around the trash can, instead of a
drawstring,
or where you got to tie the knot if it's too thin or whatever, or stretch it in a material that doesn't really stretch.
So instead of you take it off, it just goes right in.
Yeah,
but also like it fits around the can that way. So instead of using an old underwear waistband like the old guys do with generation previous to ours,
the library
had its own. I'm pretty sure my dad has done that in his life.
The underwear waistband? I've never heard of
it. So you had a round trash can,
I've
right?
got a full visual of it.
Librarian was scooted to that.
Really?
Yes.
It keeps the bag in place.
In the good pair of underwear.
Build it into the bag.
Yeah, the band goes in the trash can. The rest of it is a shop rag.
I know they make saran wrap. Look at me.
I don't know.
The plastic wrap that you'd put over a bowl. Mm-hmm. And store it in the fridge.
Clean they make wrap those. Or whatever.
They make those with elastic.
Yeah, well, that's good because they're terrible to monkey around with.
Oh, man, I love watching someone try to get a roll of plastic wrap undone. All right, well, that was fun, Pro-Am. Thank you very much. And if you guys want to send us a question, we do need some questions. Guys, we'd love to hear would you rathers, what's the difference, just questions
tell me a
about
time.
Us. Yeah, tell me a time, definitely. And you can send those to the same socials or websites or whatever that we talked about earlier. All right. Let us talk about today's topic. My screen is not touchscreen. There we go. So, bless you, Kelly.
Thank you.
We did Sea Creatures upon a time. I believe it was episode 7, I think.
Yeah.
We're doing land creatures, air creatures.
Going into the forest, baby. Creatures of the forest tonight.
And a sea donkey climbs out the rock.
Yeah.
That's right. That's
this
right.
is all Nick on this one, man.
I feel good about this.
Is the forest different than the jungle?
Hold that thought a minute, because we might have to answer that towards the end of the episode, as a matter of fact. So let's talk about forests. They are wild, messy, living systems, home to everything from creepy crawlies to big, hairy beasts. These animals aren't just hanging out for scenery. They're doing actual work. Pollinating, spreading seeds, fertilizing the place, you name it. Whether it's birds in the canopy or something slinking around the forest floor, every creature has a job. And somehow it all clicks together to keep the ecosystem running. What do you think?
I'm thinking of you laying in the woods watching soccer on a laptop while you're hunting. That's what I'm thinking about.
That's a pretty
big,
image.
Hairy creature. I can just see you sitting there.
Hairy creature. Oh, boy. Yeah.
I don't feel good about it. I mean, this is definitely not my...
I dig it, and I'm excited to
Killer written all over it.
I want to jump back into the jungle forest difference, really.
We're coming back.
I know.
So be thinking of your answer there.
Can I ask, every answer that you have on there, it's something you've heard of?
Oh, yeah. Most certainly.
Okay.
Yeah. I would not say that I'd get 100 on this one, but I would do very well personally.
So I'm sure you would.
I'm going to put Kelly up. got to be the
front runner so far.
I would think so.
Don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
Vandal's not here yet, but yeah, Kelly's odds. I mean,
I would say Kelly's pretty high.
He's got the best odds. Brian and Scotty are darn near even money. I actually have really good odds if I pulled this off. Somebody make bank.
Oh, you would have high odds.
Someone win big. Kelly's
not a fan. Like I said, Queeners, maybe even money.
Okay.
Kelly's the front runner far and away.
I agree. Yeah.
How you feel about that, K-Ray?
I don't like it.
You're a little off.
You don't like that pressure?
Look at his hat. There's trees on his hat.
Oh, I thought that was a cityscape.
Hey, it's a forest.
Kelly's it's a forest. He's wearing a forest hat.
He's wearing a forest hat.
He's cheating.
Kelly's good under pressure. He's fine.
It'll be good.
All right, let's go. It's time for the main event, our 10-question trivia game on Creatures of the Forest, and I will be your host. Here's how it works. I'm going to read a question. The boys will answer it on their whiteboard. And when I say reveal, they must show their answer. If they get it right, I think Nick's going to give them a point.
Yep.
And if they get it wrong, that is when the real fun begins. So let's see who ends up on top today. We've got a donor to toast before we get to it. We are drinking Dumont Pas Dupage. I don't know what that is.
Dumont or Domaine? Domaine?
Domaine Dupage from Man, two brothers.
Dumania.
Pro-Am, tell us what we're drinking.
You DuPage. Are drinking Domaine Dupage.
Okay.
I like the owl.
It is two brothers flagship French country ale. Mm. And they are out of Warrensville, Illinois. Shout out, Illinois.
Hey, yeah.
Yes.
Where is Warrensville? Up north?
Up north by Chicago.
Chicago.
What'd you say, Brian?
Just north of Naperville.
Oh, earlier. What'd you Let's say you go. Liked?
Oh, the owl on the can.
Oh, yeah. The can is really cool. We'll have to get a picture of it out there.
I got you.
Right over.
All right. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Let's get a little bite to it.
Yeah. Wow. That does have a little bite. Mm. What's the alcohol on there?
6.2, I believe. It tastes like it.
So bad. That owl is eyeballing me.
Yeah. I think I like it.
It'll turn your head around.
Yeah.
Wow.
Your square head.
Well done.
Yeah, well done. All right. Well, who donated to us this week? Anybody?
Oh, I'm sorry. Austin from Denver.
Oh,
thanks,
cool.
Thanks, Austin.
Thank you, Austin.
Appreciate you. All right. Let's get it started with question number one.
I love Denver.
The forest-dwelling mammal that holds the title for the slowest metabolism in the entire animal kingdom, thriving by doing basically nothing. Which mammal am I describing? Mm. Not a layup. This forest-dwelling mammal holds the title for the slowest metabolism in the animal kingdom, thriving by doing pretty much nothing at all.
Are these forests North American?
So
is it all over the world?
Any forest on planet Earth,
okay.
So, or there beyond, perhaps. I don't know, but... It is not tied to what we think of the forest here in the Midwest of America. It can be from any forest across the globe. An important distinction. Thank you, Kelly.
Can you read that again?
I will read it as many times as you'd like. This forest-dwelling mammal holds the title for slowest metabolism in the entire animal kingdom, thriving by doing nothing. What is it? BQ is
Brian?
Summons
is the animal called a Brian?
Yeah. Yeah.
Moose. You guys aren't very nice.
No, I know.
All right. We got an answer from Doc.
Sure. Why not?
Okay. Got a name on a board there? An animal on a board? Is it a mammal?
I don't know. I'm not good with that one.
I'm going weird answer.
Okay. Does it have scales?
Because I don't know.
All right. Which mammal has the slowest metabolism in the animal kingdom? Let's see the boards. Nick has a sloth. So does Doc. Koala from Kelly and koala from Brian. We got two correct answers, and it's the sloth.
Yay!
Wow, yeah, nice work.
I was literally going between sloth and koala.
Sure.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. But at first, I was thinking North. I'm glad Kelly said what he said, because I'm thinking North America. You know, sure. Wait a minute,
I'm not thinking anything because I have no idea.
Hey, look how cheesy you are that you're on the
you're
board.
Already on the board though.
I love it. That's awesome. I always think of the scene. I don't know if you guys would have seen it, but Zootopia is an animated. Mm-hmm. They're at the DMV. Right. It's so good.
Nick and I saw it together a couple times.
You were at the theater.
I grew up and still one of my closest friends of all time.
Yeah,
damn near family.
Shout out.
Nickname is Sloth.
Yeah, where does that come from?
He was slow.
Well, actually, it came from another friend of ours, Joe Allstack. Slothy was cracking up laughing. He just was like, easy there, Slothy.
Oh.
And it stuck.
Just out of nowhere.
Like,
huh?
He thought it was Sloth from, Goonies, I guess. I don't think our buddy looks like that, per se, but that's
kinda
what he went with.
Kind of funny, because isn't Big B, that from... Joe Allstack started calling me Big B, I think.
Joe Allstack was a king of those.
He's the first person I think I remember calling me that.
He was a king of those.
That's pretty weird.
King of nicknames, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, you might call it lazy, but science calls it efficient. A sloth's metabolism is so slow, it can take them days, yes, days, to digest a single leaf. They only poop about once a week, and when they do, it's a whole event.
Oh, maybe I'm a sloth.
Start a documentary on sloth poo. All right, two of you on the board, two of you are still looking. We're moving to question number two. Which North American rodent is famous for building waterways and homes using branches, mud, and stones? So we are back specifically in North America. Busy boards.
That doesn't help me at all.
The fact American that we're part. In North America?
No.
Really?
I have no distinction between... No, none. None. No, not like I don't understand North America versus South America.
No, I know. It's just
like, as far as the animals in the forest, yeah, yeah. I mean,
you recognize that there are not giraffes in our... True. I mean, right? So no, there's some context.
You've been at the St. Louis Zoo?
Not in Illinois.
In our woods. Yeah.
Like the creature,
driving
you know, the thing I wrote down, I don't know if they're native only to North America. Yeah, they could be anywhere.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I'm
all right.
There, Nick, actually.
One last time. Which North American rodent is famous for building waterways and homes using branches, mud, and stones? Let's see the boards. We got beaver all the way around, and that is the correct answer. Nick, you are on fire.
Love beaver.
So they're unique to North America.
Are they? Do we know that? I don't know. You read the question. Oh.
You say native or?
North American rodent. I didn't say native.
I didn't know they were a rodent.
I didn't realize how much, like, the beaver, like, the pelts, like, how much that made the country, like, the wealth.
Oh, frontier days.
Fur trading was huge.
We talked about it, and then I watched some show on it. I was like, I never knew it was that big, though. Like, it's huge. Like,
even
the beaver
world
was huge. Like,
my kind of hunting mentor that I pay attention to, Stephen Rennell, I've talked about him.
He failed.
He started as a beaver, like a fur trader. Yeah. And back in the 90s, when we were teenagers, he's in his 50s. He was a teenager largely and he was making money hand over fist with beaver pelts because we use the felt to create cowboy hats.
I'm more of a freelance beaver hunter. I never went pro. Amateur, if you would.
Thanks. I just had it stuffed. Beavers are nature's engineers, capable of transforming their environment like a few other animals. Their dams create wetlands that are crucial for biodiversity, providing habitat for countless species. A beaver's front teeth never stop growing, allowing them to gnaw through trees and trunks effortlessly as they wear them down.
Never stop growing, huh?
I feel like you knew all that, Nick. I figured that was
obvious. Yeah, I mean, naturally.
I just watched a documentary on YouTube. I know, Nerd Alert, but they just like released like 1,000 beavers into the desert to help generate wetlands and things like that. It was largely a very successful project.
I just read something recently where there was, I can't remember what country it was, but they were trying to build a bridge in this wetland area.
Yeah.
And they were going through the logistics of it and the cost, and it was $several million. Anyway, I don't know if they put beavers out, but so a couple of beavers ended up coming into that area, building the dam, and completely fixing the problem that the humans are trying to do and saved them millions of dollars.
Moving on to number three, we are stating with rodents.
Oh, boy.
In North America, in fact, which small rodent native to North America has distinctive cheek pouches for storing food and is known for its striped back? Now, when I read the answer, there'll be a specificity to it that I am not going to require. Okay. Which small rodent native to North America has distinctive cheek pouches for storing food and is known for its striped back?
Dang it.
I wanted to go zebra at first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's striped.
Are they black with white stripes or white?
Yeah, you didn't say color because I'm like, okay, maybe it's the tiger.
That's true, too.
You know, there's stripes on the back.
I don't see color.
No. Wow. I don't.
Brian, you got something coming here?
Yeah, no, I wrote down
something. Oh, you do?
Oh, I'm ready. Yeah.
Very good. Okay, which small rodent has cheek pouches and stores food with a stripe on its back? Let's see the answer. We got Chipmunk from 3 of 4, Big B. Put the skunk. The stripe got him, it looks like.
Yeah,
it is, in fact, specifically an eastern chipmunk.
Naturally.
And I don't know the difference between an eastern or a western, so I'm not going to ask you to differentiate.
It's the accent.
They got a Boston accent, do they?
They might.
Yeah. All right. Well, woohoo. Oh, no, that's DuckTales. Chipmunks. I was trying to coach.
Wow.
Alvin, Simon, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Theodore. My bad. Okay.
Simon, Teddy.
I'm dead serious. Do we have chipmunks around here? Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
Eastern chipmunks are the forest tiny hoarders, using their cheek pouches to carry food back to their burrows. They're industrious creatures, playing a vital role in seed dispersion, inadvertently planting the seeds they stash and then forget. Their striped backs are a key characteristic, making them easily recognizable.
I've never seen one.
In real life? Really?
No.
Okay.
Have anybody seen one, like, actually out in the forest?
Oh, yeah. Plenty.
Okay. Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, the markings
size-wise, what are we looking at?
Oh, wow.
Squirrel?
Size of a beer can, probably. Yeah,
they're
smaller.
Little.
Yeah, they're smaller than a squirrel.
Okay.
But the markings or the way their fur lays out is often tied to camouflage. And I can't really make sense of the white stripe in the camouflage world there. Hmm. Not in the forest, anyway. Okay, moving on.
All righty then.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Big gulps. All right.
Yeah. All right. That's brilliant. I love it. All right, moving on to number 4. We're on fire here, baby. What flightless bird? Let me pause there. Get a couple of flightless birds in the brain there. All right. What flightless bird native to the forests of New Zealand and known for its long, slender beak is also a national symbol of the country? New Zealand bird. It does not fly. Long, slender beak.
Can I call Sophia?
Phone a friend. Kelly's thinking. Nick's done. You get locked in here, babe?
I'm locked in. Yeah. I'm not locked in as like I'm a hundo.
Not a confident answer.
Nick's going to black out and go 10 for 10.
I know.
I feel like it's going to awesome.
Can you read it one more time, please?
Yeah, definitely. What flightless bird native to the forests of New Zealand and known for its long, slender beak is also a national symbol of the country?
Yeah, I have no idea if it's right, but something popped in my head. Okay. I go with it.
I love it. Kelly? Disappointed with himself.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, hold on.
B's writing an answer. Scotty, you got something down?
Yeah, I got something down.
Okay. How you feel?
I feel pretty good.
Okay.
About as good as Nick does.
Yeah, I there's nothing better I could come up with, so okay. I feel pretty good about it, actually.
Okay.
And I think it's a real animal.
I hope you're way off.
That would be great.
It's actually a car, but no.
All right,
let's see those boards. Gentlemen, we got ostrich from Nick, kiwi from Scott, emu from Kelly, the New Zealand flightless bird from Brian.
Very literal name.
It is also the name of their soccer team. It's the Kiwis.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. The kiwi bird.
Oh, I saw kiwi as a fruit.
A fruit.
I know it is. I'm saying I never knew it was a bird. Like, yeah.
Ostriches don't fly, right? I'm on the right track. Right?
Correct.
Okay. They do not. They're just not native to New Zealand.
I knew one.
Isn't that what they call New Zealanders?
Kiwis.
Kiwis, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, odd looking. Brown, it's an odd looking bird.
Little brown bird. I've seen one with my own eyeballs. Oh, it was cute. Not in a forest, however. It was on a mountainside.
Oh.
Mm.
So what kind of question was that?
Yeah, well. So is it a mountain bird or a forest bird?
Evidently, it's all over the place down there. Well, the kiwi is more than just a bird. It's a symbol of New Zealand's unique wildlife. These nocturnal birds use their long, slender beaks to forage for insects and worms. Interestingly, kiwi eggs are one of the largest in proportion to the body size of any birds, and the kiwis are fiercely territorial.
Hmm. You saw one on a mountain. It's a flightless bird. Like, what are you doing up there?
Why are you up there?
Yeah.
You walked all the way up there?
Yeah. You don't belong there.
Insects and worms, I guess.
To see.
I guess.
So when you say flightless,
or the lady kiwis were up there.
Is it like they can walk or one of those things they can like jump a long ways? You know what I'm saying? Or is that, you know what I'm saying?
Like a glider more so?
They glide a little bit, they don't really fly. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know that they have wings. Or like any like distinct.
Well, the dumbest bird I've ever heard of.
I mean, it looks like a potato.
The flightless bird, it doesn't have wings. Yeah, that's called a kangaroo. I mean,
I don't like New Zealand now. I'll tell you that.
Terrible name. That's all.
Fair enough. All right, moving on to question number 5. This little creature becomes a spiky fortress when threatened, rolling into a tight ball to keep predators at bay. What is it? Quick markers across the board. I'm impressed.
Yes, that's how you spell it.
Kiwis have tiny, nearly invisible vestigial wings hidden under their feathers.
Like a couple of nubbins?
Yeah.
Nubbins.
Couple of nubbins.
Nothing going on here.
Source of all
nubbins a great word, by the way.
It is. It's
an underused word, nubbin.
Especially when you know what it is.
Yeah.
It's even better.
Can you read it again, Andy?
Of course. The little creature. This little creature becomes a spiky fortress when threatened, rolling into a tight ball to keep predators at bay. What are we describing? You got an answer down.
I do. I'm torn between two mammals.
That's when I feel bad.
Two mammals.
This, I can't think of anything other than one.
This could be a problem.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Intrigued, actually.
One more time.
All right. One more time. This little creature becomes a spiky fortress when threatened, rolling into a tight ball to keep predators at bay. I can't wait for the controversy.
Oh.
Scotty's.
Yeah.
Can I change my answer?
Oh. Okay, sure. There's all kinds of
Can you think of one other one?
Yes.
Yeah. That only one thing popped in my head.
Okay.
One thing popped in my head. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I feel like you got the same answer.
I'm going to leave
kiwi,
it.
Kiwi, right? Potato.
Obviously.
I can count the potato.
Part of me hopes I'm wrong just so I can debate it.
Are we ready?
Me too. I hope you're wrong too.
There's two of them.
If you put something down with quills, you're going to be wrong. Let's flip it around. Porcupine from Nick. We got hedgehog from Scott and from Kelly. Porcupine from Brian. The hedgehog's taken.
All right.
That's the right answer.
I don't believe you.
What's the debate? What's the debate? Prove them wrong so I can get my point.
Did you think I was going to say porcupine? Or if I said porcupine,
does it describe
you were
both?
Ready to argue?
This is what my question is. Does it describe both?
In your question, what differentiates?
That's
the rolling in a ball.
Yeah, the rolling in a
porcupines
ball.
Porcupines don't know how to do that, apparently.
Correct. They don't do that.
They don't do that at all.
That's correct.
I guarantee it.
My understanding is they do roll in a ball.
Thank you, Sega Genesis.
I confirmed. Yeah.
You confirmed?
Confirmed.
They lack the ability to roll into a ball?
I think, like you do.
My research.
Prove it.
Your new nickname is Porcupine.
They just raise their quills.
Yeah.
It's a defense mechanism.
Yeah. So, cute as a button, but equipped like quill. A medieval knight. What's up?
What's a quill?
A quill.
What's a quill?
They're little spikes.
Yeah. But they come out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
I was asking for clarification. That's all.
Yeah,
okay.
I know.
All right.
All right. You're dead on.
That's the spiky thing.
Porcupine.
That's a technical term.
I got you.
An old pin.
That too.
Old wooden ship.
Wooden ship.
Cute as a button, but equipped like a medieval knight. Hedgehogs don't fight. They curl. Their 5,000-plus spines, not quills, are no joke. They're also one of the few mammals that can hibernate, which honestly sounds like a pretty solid life plan. I like that very much. The ones that sleep for long periods of time sound.
What made you guys shift? The ball part?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Sonic.
Hedgehog.
Yeah, Sonic
that,
hedgehog.
Now that makes sense, but the hedgehog didn't pop in my head.
Porcupine's all the
kids. That's the only thing that I know was spikes.
I wrote down porcupine first, but the...
I figured as much, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of a hedgehog.
It was meant to twist.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That is 5, so let's hear from the bill payers, and then we'll get a score check. All right, Nick, what do you got for us?
All right, from worst to first.
I'm not even on the board over there.
I just realized
you don't have a B.
I just looked. I was looking for my score. Like,
I
wait, where am I? I must be, yeah.
Sorry.
I was like, wait a minute.
All right.
Porcupine Brian, doing the least amount of work.
Worst of first. Brian's got one. Kelly, you and I are tied with three. Doc is 5 for 5 so far.
5 for 5.
Yes.
Wow. 5.
You're about to get 5 for fighting.
He's a hobbit.
Kelly guy goes down to Gatlinburg for a couple of days and now he's in Mr. Tree. Forest, you know what I'm saying?
Looks like 4, and that's why I was questioning.
Yeah, it's a 5. You see the slash. The
no, I was talking about Kelly. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just the markers are
you are lazy today.
What?
Porcupine.
Jim and the A to a B. All right. We ready for number 6?
Yeah.
It's my favorite question on the map.
Oh, all right.
What's the largest species of deer found in North America? A couple of layers of trivia here.
All right. Oh, there it is.
What is the largest? This number 6, by the way. What is the largest species of deer found in North America? In the wild, not in zoos, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, gotcha.
Kelly, you got some shrugs.
I'm going with, I'll explain later.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
I didn't know how many species of deer there
are. Well, that's the first layer, right? Is you have to know.
Well, the definition is exactly.
Is there a lot of species of deer?
There's several.
Okay. I know, and it's a curiosity. Maybe it's in your flavor text. Sorry.
Well, yeah, I am going to tell you how many there are. Yeah.
Can you give me the definition of a deer?
Yes, I can. After we reveal the answer.
No, now. Come on.
No.
I wrote something down, and I just hope it's a species of deer.
Okay.
Well, see, my question is that like.
That's all I'm hoping.
I won't get into it. I'm wrong either way.
I'm sure.
I'll bring it up after we're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine might be the smallest species.
Oh, beautiful. I have them in order.
Oh, okay, actually, good. I'm excited about it.
Tick, tick.
All right, everybody's got an answer. What is the largest species of deer found in North America? Let's see the answer. We've got mule deer from Nick, whitetail from Scotty, moose from Kelly, whitetail deer from Brian. We do have a correct answer. It's the moose, baby.
That was my question. Is an elk in the family a moose? I didn't know what... That was
what you should ask, Brian.
I could no. I said I was going to. I'm saying like I, yeah.
I didn't know a moose was
so
a deer.
Is moose is elk like a type of deer?
Yes
or no? Oh, that was my.
It is. Yeah, okay. I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't learn
caribou, yep. Reindeer.
Yep, same thing. Caribou and reindeer.
Caribou crossed my mind too.
Yeah.
Anybody want to keep going? Actually, you guys have hit the top 3: moose, elk, caribou. Anybody want to take more guesses?
You said reindeer.
Caribou's a reindeer.
I said mule deer. I think that's a thing.
Mule deer is number 4.
Whitetail deer.
Whitetail's number 5.
A dick.
I don't know what that is.
It's a little small deer.
Okay.
Oh.
Antelope.
Springbok.
Nope, that's a different species. It is a cervid, but it's horned, not antlered.
Okay.
What'd you say?
Springbok.
I don't know what that is either.
It's from Africa.
That is not a North American species. Yeah, very good. Okay. Moose are titans of the deer world. Their antlers can reach 6 feet across. They have these giant paddles. If you watch a show where they hunt them, they blow through this big loud horn to call them in, and you can watch them coming from tens of miles away towards this draw. And that's what those paddles are designed for, is to help them hear the mating calls. Nevertheless... In order, there are 8 total North American species: the moose, the elk, also known as wapiti, the caribou, also known as reindeer, as we touched on, mule deer, white-tailed deer, black-tailed deer, also called Sitka deer, coos deer, which is a smaller version of the white tail found mostly in Mexico, and then the key deer. Anybody guess where that's from?
Florida.
Key West.
Florida Keys, baby. You bet.
They have deer in Florida.
Yeah.
Is that the last one?
That was the last of the North.
The smallest.
America.
Those are real small too.
They are about like a dogs. Large dog. Yeah.
This is very educational. Wow. Mm-hmm.
No, it is. I
very
mean,
educational.
I thought a moose was its own thing. Should be called a moose deer.
Anybody want to? Yeah, I should have made this a tiebreaker.
It's meese, actually. The plural. Yeah, it's meese.
Is it?
Actually, I'm going to use this as a tiebreaker, so I'm not going to give you this because I didn't write a tiebreaker.
As a guy who has a nickname Moose, I'm a little embarrassed.
Now you know. Drop that
you're
trivia.
We're just calling you a deer. Yeah.
All right, moving on to question number 7. This one also has a specificity that I will not require.
I feel like the guy shot one deer and I think he's Daniel Boone. You know what I'm saying?
I'd like to go with Davy Crockett instead.
I thought about using that one. But
All right, number 7. Which bird, known for its bright red breasts and melodious song, is often associated with the arrival of spring in North America specifically? We're looking for a general species of bird, not the specific version of this bird.
Read it one more time. Yeah. The beginning again.
So it is. This bird is known for its bright red breast and its melodious song. It is often associated with the arrival of spring. Is that it?
No idea. I just like,
might be, look over here.
Might be a cardinal.
Hey, you.
The African swallow.
So it's not swallow.
Check
changing.
Notes.
Yeah. One right. Down. Yep, changing answer. Right.
It is also not a kiwi. All right. Everybody got an answer? Nick's still chugging through.
Can't
it
think there of a bird.
Think right of a bird, Nick.
It's the word.
Put a bird down. North American bird.
Bird is a word. Bird.
Brilliant.
That's great.
All right. We got a bird, red breast, pretty songs, arriving in the spring in North America. Let's see the boards. We got a cardinal from Nick. That's a good guess. Robin from Scotty. Cardinal from Kelly. And from Brian. The robin takes it. The American robin is the correct answer.
I thought well robins done, were like Scotty black and blue. I'm way off. I thought robin's colors are black and blue. I'm way off, yeah. I didn't know that.
Blue jay, I imagine, right?
Is it actually called the red-breasted robin?
This,
no, I know the
according to my research, it was the American robin that American is listed robin there. Yeah,
yeah.
Was that a shot or did you know it?
It was what I thought. Was,
okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, the American robin's cheerful song is the harbinger of spring, signaling the end of winter's chill. The birds are adaptable, thriving in both forests and in urban environments. Their diets shift with the seasons, from earthworms in the spring to berries in the winter, showcasing their versatility. They do not fly south for the winter.
Mm.
There you go.
Trivia?
Yeah.
Trivia on top of trivia.
Kelly's got something. Yeah.
The red threw me off.
That's what I was saying. The red threw me off.
But robins are...
I mean, it technically,
red-breasted.
It technically red-breasted says known for its bright orange dash red breast.
I almost put reddish. I almost put ish at the back.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a picture of it.
Yeah. No, I know. I know what it looks orange like, and it's a variation of red, which is why.
Question does it change throughout the year?
There's other questions. It's just an idea.
Yeah. Well, you said, I got to fact check these things?
Well, there's other things to it. You said it brings in spring. Harbinger is how you say it, by the way.
Thank you.
And you said melodious, so it's a singing bird.
It is a songbird.
I don't know if the cardinal really sings.
It is. It's beautiful, actually.
The cardinal?
Mm-hmm.
I would consider it more melodious than a robin.
Okay.
Make you cry.
All.
Matter of taste.
Kelly's getting salty.
You got a cardinal on your
salty, but he's not wrong. Does a cardinal also have
the pressure?
Does a cardinal have a red breast? And is it melodious?
I don't know.
Does a cardinal
have a red breast?
Does it come in the spring?
It's all red.
Might have a white breast.
You know, the St. Louis Cardinals were not named for the bird. Really? That didn't come around until a few years later.
Cardinal red.
It was the color.
It was the color.
And then a few years later, someone drew the bird.
Red, like their chest.
A lady made a comment.
Like their breast.
I like that cardinal red. So red, yeah, the dude with the bird actually, actually just the color, yeah.
Red-breasted and melodious and is melodious the cardinal.
Yeah, well, completely I can't red argue with that point.
Completely red, not yeah orangish red.
That's true. But this says bright red breast.
Producer Amy, specifically. We need a ruling. Is the cardinal also red because Andy was not specific enough?
My research shows a bird with a reddish-orange breast and a clear, cheery song.
Does the cardinal bring in spring, technically. You're not going to find that answer.
Absolutely. It says classic spring is here bird with a reddish orange breast and a clear cheery song.
For a cardinal?
Yeah, we need that.
No, for a North American robin.
Yeah. Describe a cardinal, please.
Let's see what they say about the cardinal.
Do they sing, stand also by come in the spring, and also have a red breast?
Stand by.
Yeah, stand by.
If they have those three qualities.
This is getting good.
Yes. Medium-sized songbird with a tall pointed crest and a thick orange-red beak. See, they're different, though. The males and the females. Males are bright red.
No point.
Red-breasted.
Clear no whistling point songs.
How is it not?
They whistle no songs. Point. Are they here in the spring?
Yes.
Well, no, they're here all the time.
Yeah, they're here know all year long.
Are they known for ringing in spring?
Yeah, they don't arrive in the spring, it says.
There we go. No we point go awarded. Moving on to question number 8.
Non-migratory.
Listeners, give us a list. Give us your opinion here.
I want to hear a
rolling. You should ask my grandma. She's big on bird watching.
Playing under
bird lady.
She loves the birds.
All right, question so number 8.
John loves the birds.
Hmm.
Which forest mammal, known for its bushy tail and habit of burying nuts, is commonly seen in urban parks and woodlands across North America? forest mammal. Which forest mammal, known for its bushy tail and the habit of burying nuts, is commonly seen in urban parks and woodlands across America?
Have you been to Washington, D.C.?
I'm having a marker issue. Give me a second.
Take your time.
Yeah, take your time.
Yeah, D.C.? Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
I'm okay. D.C. Well, they're known for a variation of this. Like, well, we'll talk about it.
Well, Scott knows the answer. Wait.
Yeah, it seems so anyway.
Well, it could be dead wrong, but I'm thinking of...
We're all hoping for it.
It's not a zebra. Definitely not. Sorry, Nick. All right.
Marker sucks, too.
Here.
I'm having... Hold on, I got it.
You're all good. Right. You're good, brother. Not going to lose a point because your marker doesn't work, I promise you.
I was just laughing. I was laughing at the grimace on your face. You're like,
this is frustrating. You're trying to write.
All right, let's see the boards, fellas. We got a squirrel from everybody, and that is correct. Technically, my list here shows Eastern gray squirrel. I'm not going to ask for that specificity. It very likely could have described the red and the black and all of them. So, what's your DC fact?
They have black squirrels there, and like they're I don't know if they're rare, but they're not common in all parts
of
the country.
Black squirrels are not
common. Only Illinois, home of the white squirrel.
Yeah, that too.
Only. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And you cannot shoot those during squirrel season. Only the red and the gray are you allowed to hunt.
Don't shoot the whites. Is that what you're saying?
Got it. No, that is not what I'm saying.
That's exactly what you said.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Eastern gray squirrels are a common sight in many neighborhoods, known for their acrobatic feats and busy nature. They play a crucial role in forest regeneration by burying nuts, some of which will grow into new trees. These squirrels have adapted well to the urban environments and are often seen raiding bird feeders. Hot topic.
Anybody had squirrel?
Yeah. I have two in my freezer. I have had.
Is anybody eating squirrel?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It's good.
Definitely.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a little chewy.
A little gamey.
Yeah, just
a little
gamey. But yeah.
Just got to know how to cook it.
Had a couple.
Put it in like a stew. It's probably not as noticeable.
If you slow cook it and break it down, make tacos or something out of them, that's a common application.
Tacos is common?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Squirrel tacos?
Yeah. 100%. And
The ribs for short ribs?
You can clean them.
I'd say so.
No, I don't know about that.
First time I had, I was in a rural area in Missouri visiting a friend and I just remember when they brought that out and some other things. I was watching my six. I was a little nervous.
Yeah.
What kind of environment?
Watching my six.
Watch your cornhole.
No, you can break a squirrel down into six parts, and it is very difficult to distinguish it from a chicken wing, from the visual of it.
Huh.
And you know, obviously you can deep fry them and treat them much like a chicken wing. There you go. There's your hot tip if you ever want to eat squirrel.
Squirrel knowledge, I like.
Yeah, there you go.
Send us all your squirrel recipes.
Is the squirrel season long? I feel like you probably shoot squirrels.
Yeah, it's the first season to open in August, and it closes eventually.
Closes at the end of July.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
I'm like, you know that?
Yeah, that's impressive.
You came in very knowledgeable sounding. Yeah. I'll give you that.
All right, that was eight, Nicholas. Where do we stand, Bubby?
That was only eight? I feel like we're at 10 already. Wow. It's not that it's dragging on, Andy. It's a great topic.
No, I can tell you're way into it.
I like the topic. I'm doing terrible, but I like it.
Well, you got 2 B.
Yeah, I know.
I have 4. Kelly has 5. And Doc, you have 7.
Doc has 7.
There's still people in the mix.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll see.
Last two are not gimmies. So it could be differentiator. Could be a chance for Kelly to get back his swagger here a little bit. All right, moving on to number 9. Deadly and dramatic. This snake has a name pulled from African mythology and is known for lightning-fast strikes and potent venom. What is it? It's from Africa.
Seems like a very vague description.
Fair enough.
Yeah, read it again.
Other than the African mythology part, it is a name. All right. Deadly and dramatic, this snake has a name pulled from African mythology.
Okay.
And is known for lightning fast strikes and potent venom.
Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You've been there, Kelly.
Lots of snakes.
Yeah. I hate snakes.
Think about the defining characteristics. If you know anything about the different species, this one is known for its fast strikes.
Deep in thought.
Nick Seifling.
I don't know that many. That's part of the problem. Okay.
You actively try to avoid snakes at all costs, don't you?
Yeah, that's part, yes. And read it one more time.
Yeah. Okay. This snake has a name pulled from African mythology and is known for lightning fast strikes and its very potent venom. What snake is it?
I'm blanking and I feel like I'm missing something.
I would love to give a hint here, but I'm going to refrain because it's a tight game here.
Oh.
Doc, did I miss you? Write it down here, buddy.
I wrote it down.
You got an answer? You feel good?
No.
Okay.
I mean, there's just so many snake species that I mean, I feel like I can list a lot of types of snakes, but I don't know that I know the African mythology.
Yeah, and I get where Kelly's coming from being generic that, you know, there's a lot of snakes that strike really quick.
Yeah, and have
this
powerful venom.
This one is specifically known for being super fast.
Yep, hundo.
Okay.
I like
Brian,
it.
All day, every day.
I hope Brian's right.
Super. All right, Kelly, back to the board. I'm going to ask for a species of snake here, K-Ray.
I think I'm going to be so mad.
Okay, man, I hate this. All right, let's reveal. We got a black mamba from Nick and from Scott and an ass from Kelly and a black mamba from Brian. Sure enough, the black mamba is the right answer.
See, yes. I told you, hundo. I was actually
nice good. Work.
Yeah. I just wrote mamba because it sounds African.
There is a classic story out there. I have no idea if it's true, but I've heard it from multiple places. That the guy crawled into
it's a tale as old as time.
A sleeping bag and realized once he was in there that there was a mamba in there. So he stood still. He laid still. A bunch of people came over, grabbed him by his arms, and pulled him out of there. And before he exited the sleeping bag that quickly, he was bitten like 36 times or something crazy like that. Pro-Am can fact check all of this. But
that's fast.
That's why, yeah, I know. And it can double up on its body, which a lot of snakes can't do.
It can stand up pretty tall, too, I believe.
Pretty savage.
You're right. You're right, Nick?
I think Scott threw a joke out there that I missed.
No, I didn't.
He said, I just wrote mamba because it sounds African. Because he let the black part out.
I can't breathe over
it's
here.
Factual.
It almost sounds like I only said mama because the black part sounded African. No. So I left it.
That's not what I said.
That's not what you said.
What helped me get this is, was it like Kobe Bryant's?
That's his nickname.
That's
the hint I wanted to drop.
That's where I was like, ooh, I know it's because of Kobe Bryant. Yeah. That's why I knew it. Yeah,
okay. Seriously. I did not know that.
They call him black. Yeah. So that's why I knew that. And I said a hundo. I was serious. It's like the Kobe Bryant. Yeah.
So forget the cobras and rattlers. This is an apex sprinter of the serpent world. The black mamba can slither at speeds of up to 12.5 miles per hour and deliver a neurotoxic punch. That's the stuff of legend and nightmares. That name comes from the dark color of its mouth, not its body. And if you see one, just be a tree. That's your defense mechanism. Don't be a threat to it.
Mm-hmm. Just make like a tree.
That's like most things, though, right?
More or less.
They usually don't want nothing to do with you unless you threaten them.
That's it. If you step on them, they're going to bite you.
It's like a defense.
So am I, by the way.
Nick's the same way.
Step on me, I'm going to bite you.
He's going to bite you. Porcupine will get you.
All right. Moving on to number 10. You want to give us... is there still a game going here?
No.
Or is Scotty taking it?
No. He ran away with it.
Son of a gun.
Scotty.
All right. For pride, then.
Heard.
What? Number 10. What forest-dwelling marsupial... native to Australia and primarily feeding on eucalyptus leaves, spends most of its life in trees. No idea how badly I wanted to get.
Let's do it again, Kelly. Let's do it again.
Yeah,
I wanted to say something
earlier.
Yeah, I really did. Obviously, you know. Marsupial. All right, what forest dwelling? Let's try that again. What forest-dwelling marsupial, native to Australia and primarily feeding on eucalyptus leaves, spends most of its life in trees? Let's see the answer. We got kangaroo from Nick for some reason.
Kangaroo in the trees.
I wrote it down. I was like, wait, trees? Oh, it's too late now.
That's pretty funny.
I just had to go with it.
It doesn't matter. You lost anyway, right?
That is
I'm with you.
How did you have five to this point?
I had no idea.
I mean, you blacked out.
Huh? Yeah, you got black mamba, but kangaroo.
Well, Scott got nine.
You got me. Wow. I don't know. For some reason, kangaroo's the only thing that popped in my head. And you said tree. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
When I think of the forest, I think of Scotty.
Usually.
I stood next to my mom while she held a
koala bear in Australia. As a matter of fact, got a picture of it.
I think pretty cool. My girls did as well. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Dumbest animals on earth.
And they sleep all the time.
Are they like really like known for being?
They literally cannot eat anything else.
Yep.
They're just not. They,
I'd sleep. I think it's in here. Yeah. They sleep like 20 hours a day. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Koalas are the epitome of a tree-dwelling lifestyle, spending up to 20 hours a day sleeping in the eucalyptus trees. That's right. These marsupials have a specialized diet, eating only the eucalyptus leaves, which are toxic to most animals. Koalas have a unique fingerprint pattern, much like humans, making them a fascinating study for scientists. The misery has ended, at least for Nicholas. Let's finalize this bad boy. What do you got, Nick?
All right. Worst to first. B, you ended up with 4. I ended up with 5. Maybe. Shockingly. Kelly, you had 6. Doc, pressure. 9 out of 10.
Where did I wish that I would have known from? A deer and a moose were the same thing.
Yeah, me too.
Over here. Well done, my man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you exceed your own expectations?
I totally did, but.
Yeah. 9?
9? I mean, of course. You know.
Yeah, I never would have thought.
Solid.
9. Yeah.
That's a big number to put on a category like that.
Niner?
Good job. All right. Well, I got, it's funny that you brought that up earlier, B, the difference between a jungle and a forest.
Yes.
I'm going to throw the woods in that mix, too. Let's define what is the difference between the jungle,
to me,
the forest, and the woods.
The woods, to me, is the forest. That's the same, in my opinion.
Woods and forest.
Woods and forest, same. Woods and jungle are different because I feel like jungle's tropical climate.
Precipitation.
Rain.
I don't have an answer. If you're looking for to be right,
what I'm saying
this
is like,
just
I think
a debate.
A forest, I think of like something in North America. Jungle, I think of like South America. Pythons, swampy,
so woods
humid,
and forest are
wet.
Completely interchangeable.
I think
woods is almost like slang for forest. It's not like even really an official.
Yeah,
I
don't know. I mean, wooded area, but I don't think woods would be the scientific term.
Considered.
No, but like you said, I think it's like the slang term for the forest, the woods. That's how I view it. I don't know.
Maybe the woods is a less dense forest.
Well, that's interesting because I was going to say a jungle is more dense than the forest.
I agree.
Correct.
Yeah. And tropical. I agree that that has to play a role.
See, we don't have jungles here, right? I mean, you know.
I don't know.
I don't think so. Yeah,
maybe.
Hawaii?
Southern Florida.
Everglades?
Maybe some of the...
I feel like that's something you could have looked up.
Maybe some Florida stuff. I don't know.
You think it's defined?
I imagine.
Let's find out.
You know what I'm sure is on it as we're
discussing. You know what really grinds my gears?
A difference between a robin and a cardinal. Well...
That's number 2.
Okay.
The lion being called the king of the jungle. Lions don't live in the jungle.
No, they live on the
good
prairie,
point.
Don't
good
they?
Point.
And sure. A tiger would smash a
it's
lion.
Bigger, yeah, so it's bigger, yeah.
Bigger.
That's
faster.
A great point actually.
Tiger's the king of the jungle. Lion's the king of the savannah.
Wait, would a rhino mess up a tiger though?
Probably. Yeah. I don't think lions mess with rhinos.
So I'm saying it's like I feel like if we're getting to the real king, right? It's probably like a rhino. Like
what would happen if a whale rhino fought an eagle? That's where this conversation is headed.
That's the Native American Aesop's fables.
So if you are...
If the eagle had like an American bandana, I'm going with the eagle.
Yeah. Straight off a tattoo.
America.
Well, which one, if you were going to get dropped into one of those three in the middle of the night, is... Scariest.
Which three?
Oh, jungle.
Jungle.
Everything.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I don't want to see a snake that's like 30 feet long or whatever. Like, no,
I think there's creatures in there that we have not even seen.
Yeah. Oh, and the bugs?
Well, I agree with
the
you.
The bugs alone.
Oh,
no, thanks.
Tribes.
That too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's humans in there that just want to kill you.
That's a good point. That's a great point. Yeah, no, thank you.
That's true. And it's specific jungles, right?
But like the weather, the bugs. So even if like you're not encountering something life-threatening.
Yeah. It's a death
mosquitoes,
trap.
Mosquitoes, beds. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's worse. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It is. The jungle's a death trap.
People live there, Nick. It's
not
a death trap.
They thrive with survivability. You know, you just have to know. And that's actually the next question I'm coming to here.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to say this has something to do with tropical climate. But the jungle, the leaves, the foliage never changes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah,
the
good
forest,
question.
In the
good.
Forest, it does.
That's true.
Is that way different from a rainforest to a jungle?
There are trees in North America that don't change. Yeah. Pine, coniferous trees.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. But I mean, I feel like in the jungle.
Yeah.
The same foliage year round.
Because it's pretty much the same climate. it's always humid and whatever.
Yeah, you don't have the winter where the leaves fall off and all that. But yeah. Anyway, Pram, you got something over there?
I got differences between the three. Okay. So Chad is telling me woods or woodland are smaller and more open. There's more sunlight that hits the ground. Mm. A forest is larger and typically more dense.
Oh, nailed
distinct layers, including canopy and understory, with much more shade, and you can get deeper, the feeling of being deeper into the forest. Mm. Jungle, tropical forest that's so dense at ground level it can be hard to move through. Yeah. Lots of thick undergrowth, vines, rapid plant growth.
But she even said tropical forest.
Yeah,
so tropical. Does it, the, is forest just that? Like
forest is kind of the
they fall under. Yeah, they fall under that.
I think it has to do with the acreage.
Sure.
Or, yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense, actually. The final question is kind of meant to be opposite of which one's scarier. Which one, if you were dropped in there and had to survive for a week, which one do you feel like you'd survive in the best?
The forest.
I'd say the forest.
The forest. Just
denser, because it was from what she just said.
Yeah.
It's denser, so there's more opportunity for shelter, I think, to make shelter. Then also more probably like stuff around that can hunt, maybe.
Well, see, and that's the thing. That's you got to forage or find mushrooms.
Yeah, that's where my head's going. Yeah.
Animals, clearly, right. Obviously.
Yeah, I'm just saying that. Like, the forest probably a little more, got more to offer. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Whitetail, blacktail, deer. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Beasts.
Seeking.
Yeah. I mean, if we're hiding from like a heat-seeking helicopter, I think you're better off in the forest.
Do those exist?
Apocalyptic
helicopters. You know how they find the criminals when they're running around? They're running away, and yeah.
You just cover yourself in mud like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's exactly what you do. That's right. Oh boy! All right, thank you guys. That was fun. Congratulations, Doc. You are now a part-time doctor of zoology, evidently honorary.
Forestry.
Kelly has had his hat. Privileges revoked.
I'm going to start wearing that hat.
He's hand it over.
Terrible.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Ultimate Trivia Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Join us and go back and listen to Sea Creatures. Again, I think it was episode 7 or 6, maybe, and compare the two, how you did. Anybody remember who won that one?
Kelly, probably. That was phosphoring.
North Atlantic Ridge and phosphoring.
Yeah, yes. Right. North Atlantic Ridge
is not a sea creature.
Oh, that's right. I won that one.
Atlantic Ridge. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see you next time with more trivia and more fun. And until then, keep your brain sharp and those bellies laughing.
Dude, that is a fantastic shirt.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. You can get one yourself. You didn't know this?
No, I didn't. Where do you get that?
We got a merch store. You can find the link on our website. We partnered with Warrior Logo Wear, a veteran-owned custom apparel shop, and they've created a whole store for us. Doc, didn't you use this for your daughter's soccer team?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because they have no minimum order. So if I just need to buy a couple shirts, don't have to worry. It's not going to cost me anything extra.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Check them out yourself. You got a small business like we do or a sports program, you want some custom apparel, check out warriorlogowear.com, and they'll get you all hooked up.